A key catalyst of the revolt in Tunisia was the suicide of an educated but unemployed man named Mohamed Bouazizi. Last month, he burned himself to death to protest his treatment at the hands of local police. Others in the region have followed suit. People have set themselves ablaze in Algeria, Egypt, Mauritania, and today, France. Officials in Marseille said a 16-year-old boy was rushed to the hospital after setting himself on fire at his school. The World's Alex Gallifant reports on the recent history of self-immolation.
It started in 1963. An elderly Buddhist monk assumed the lotus position at an intersection in Saigon, Vietnam. Other monks doused him in gasoline. Then he set himself on fire. The American journalist David Halberstam was there. "Flames were coming from a human being," he wrote. "I was too shocked to cry, too confused to take notes or ask questions, too bewildered to even think." The monk's protest, directed against Vietnam's rulers, shocked the world, but it was not an impulsive act. Michael Biggs is a sociologist at Oxford University. He says the Vietnamese monks worked to maximize the impact of the self-immolation.
To make sure that there were plenty of media watching, and in fact there was one American journalist who could take photographs, and there were lots of other Buddhist supporters around him to block the fire engines from reaching him.
Four other monks and a nun followed his example in the following weeks and burned themselves to death. Months later, the Vietnamese regime was overthrown. Self-immolation, Michael Biggs says, was interpreted by some as an act that could produce results, that could change the status quo. It could be a productive, not a destructive, thing to do.
A handful of people elsewhere thought, if he can be successful, or the Buddhist monks can be successful in Vietnam, perhaps that's something, if I'm willing to make that ultimate sacrifice, that I could do myself.
Acts of self-immolation soon moved beyond Vietnam. Over the last four decades, instances have been recorded in countries including India, South Korea, Hungary, Great Britain, and Japan. Lanny Berman directs the American Association of Suicidology in Washington. He says that, in general, a willingness to self-immolate betrays significant mental illness.
Most of the research literature on self-immolation describes that people who are willing, if you will, to withstand that degree of pain as a form of death generally are rather psychotic or otherwise very seriously disturbed.
It's unlikely that those setting themselves on fire in protest think of themselves that way. Those who self-immolate often justify their action, says Michael Biggs at Oxford.
Most religious systems and cultures have prohibitions on suicide, but of course it's possible to say this is not a suicide. This is not for personal reasons. I'm giving my life for the political cause or for the community, so it's really not suicide.
Self-immolation traveled across the globe because it was simple to understand and simple to reproduce. And Biggs suggests, while fire is central to many religions and cultures, fire might not be at the core of the act's power.
It's hard to divorce fire from the fact that this particular case in 1963 used fire, because perhaps we might imagine that if the Buddhist monk had done something else, like, for example, cut open his belly as the Japanese, some earlier Japanese suicide protest done, perhaps that would have become the tactic.
Instead, Michael Biggs argues that the use of fire is, for want of a better phrase, media-friendly.
Because it provides a terrible, gruesome image, but one that is not too gruesome to actually be broadcast on television or to be shown in a newspaper.
Until these last few weeks, Biggs hadn't seen instances of self-immolation take place in predominantly Muslim nations such as Tunisia and Algeria. But that's not to say it doesn't happen. In recent years, for instance, there have been many instances of self-immolation among women in Afghanistan. Though rare, this is a form of violent protest that knows no cultural boundaries. What began on the streets of Saigon has since gone global. For The World, I'm Alex Gallifant.